Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and unfortunately, Mr. Nuri had an important family funeral this morning, and we say condolences to the family of the wife of the former ambassador, Eugene Nuri. Condolences to the family. All right, so because of Cecil's show, we're hosting an open line today. He said, give the people a chance to talk. The numbers to call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. 325-4259. That's 325-4259. And then 242-300-5720 is our toll-free number from the Family Islands. The conversation we had on the Clock with Miss Russell from Abaco, she used 242-300-5720 to get through to the show. You could do the same thing. I got a story here from Cat Island. I don't know what the Cat Islanders are saying. 16th of July, 2025, Nassau Guardian. After power outages, Cat Islanders say they better. Cat Island isn't the only family island going through issues right now. So if you want a family island, you got news to share, feel free to call any of the numbers. But remember, 242-300-5720 is toll-free for family island listeners. And our text line is always powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. So we're going to read from this article, just quickly, the Cat Island story, and then we're going to get into today's news. Cat Island residents are voicing concerns following a string of recurring electricity outages that began last week. On Sunday, BPL reported that they were facing ongoing generation challenges, resulting in a series of load shedding activities and island-wide blackouts. Anastasia Miller, who has been living in Cat Island for 13 years, told the Nassau Guardian that the frequent spontaneous blackouts are the worst she has ever experienced. She added that power issues began as early as Miller recounted the worst of the outages, as she said members of the community were left in heat and darkness, with some residents returning home to spoiled food and broken appliances. In an effort to tackle the power outages, BPL stated the technicians from Nassau were flown into Cat Island to assist in mending the island's power system on Friday, but additional technicians were still brought in on Sunday to expand support. Miller said, despite the extra hands, outages remain spontaneous. Proprietor of Tito Seafood, Alvin Thurston, said the worst outage was on Sunday when the northern section of Cat Island was without electricity for around 11 hours. Quote, at 4:30 a.m. Sunday morning when the power went out, we never got power back until about 3 p.m. that afternoon. He expressed appreciation toward BPL for the efforts put forth to stabilize power on Cat Island, but shared that he feels there were not enough updates given to residents. In a statement issued to residents on Tuesday afternoon, BPL thanked Cat Islanders for their patience and confirmed that 2 of 4 units on the island were restored, with additional parts for the remaining units set to arrive on the next mail boat. However, Thurston noted that residents are still happening across the island. The article continues with contributions from the opposition leader, Michael Pintard. He described the outages as a direct result of the government's, quote, neglect of critical infrastructure, close quotes. We're going to put it there. All right, I'm going to read from the Nassau Guardian. Today may be perhaps one of the hottest stories everybody's talking about. We're going to read from the article. Woman in custody claims officers wouldn't let her use bathroom. The Royal Bahamas Police Force said it is investigating a video that depicts a woman in police custody claiming officers denied her request to use a bathroom. It noted that the responsible officers, quote, will be dealt with to the full extent of the law, close quotes. The video purportedly showed the woman defecating on the floor of the police station. She also uses the N-word repeatedly during the recording in an apparent reference to police officers. Quote, police wish to inform the public that the video circulating on various social media platforms regarding a Caucasian female in police custody is being thoroughly investigated, close quotes, the RBPF said in a statement. Quote, furthermore, the police would like to inform the public that the actions displayed by police officers in the video are not a reflection of our organization's policies or laws. Quote, hence such actions will not be tolerated and those found culpable will be dealt with to the fullest extent of the law, close quotes. The statement noted that the woman in the video was released from police custody pending further investigation. I saw that there's also a story in today's Tribune. I wanted to start with the Guardian story first, of course, because we are a part of the Guardian family. So the Tribune story, outrage at police video of detaining. We're going to jump into the article. The footage widely shared on social media shows the woman shouting for access to a bathroom, claiming her repeated requests were ignored. She defecates on the station floor while voices off camera, presumed to be officers, mock and provoke her. Reading from the article in the Nassau Tribune, we're going to go to page 5. Quote, I told you I had to go to the bathroom, close quote, she says after the act, visibly distressed. In the exchange, she repeatedly uses racial slurs against officers who respond with taunts and accusations that she is under the influence of a substance, who, quote, stay out the coke house, close quotes. Let's end that right there. Well, no, we're going to continue. Attorney Christina Galanis, who advocates for detainee rights, said the woman's treatment and the circulation of the video represents a serious violation of her rights. Quote, she has a right to use the bathroom. That is her right. She ought to be treated humanely and fairly pursuant to the Constitution, she said. Calling the footage dehumanizing, quote, dehumanizing, close quotes, she said, Ms. Galanis said, the woman would likely have grounds for civil lawsuit based on inhumane and degrading treatment. Quote, if you do not have the stomach to endure verbal abuse and continue on with your job professionally and check all the boxes, then you ought not be there, close quotes, she said. Let me stick a pin right there. So it's a couple of things that came up for me in this story. Let's start here. Now, the importance of policies requiring all officers to wear body cams while on duty. All officers to wear body cam while on duty. For body cam, for the cameras to be on at all times, right? I could imagine that somebody began recording for the purpose of documenting what was happening to ensure that what happened could be accurately documented, right? Bang. We get that. When we see bystanders, fights, conflict, recording, we can understand why. Because somebody is attempting to ensure that we could see exactly what happened. Why don't they have body cams to do that? Right? Now, we could see the importance of ensuring that there's surveillance equipment installed and operating within all authorized spaces within the police station. Right? I could even see a camera at the entrance of the bathroom, or is it able to install cameras in a way that they don't look into the stall, so you will never reveal someone not dressed, right? But there should be cameras in all stations, in all, virtually all areas, and officers should be wearing body cams. See, now, this one is kind of personal to me. I can tell you I got a bias because I had a recent medical procedure, and as a part of that process, I found myself in a patient room, which I will acknowledge that due to a lack of sufficient resources, the doctors and nurses and staff do the best with what they have. Okay? But I found myself in a situation where a doctor had to use the light on their phone to examine my body. Right? Even understanding the constraints that our medical staff are constantly working through, right? Coupled with the fact that not only was I being stalked for a number of years, but it's never been resolved. And the agency who could resolve it told the police they don't care, right? I personally understand what it means to ensure that the professionals have the resources required to do their job properly. See, this is that's at the policy level. Here's why all officers need to wear body cams, and here's why y'all need to find the funding to do it. Here's the next thing. We got a culture of voyeurism, man. And we have this weird culture where we see, it's one thing if you're watching something and it inspires you to help. It inspires you to jump on board, to intervene, right? To make an intervention. But it doesn't seem that's why we are sharing these images, right? And at this point now, we have to ask, well, we have to say that when it comes to sensitive footage from scenes that the police have been called to, right? The only way we could get police footage is if police send it out. And it speaks to an issue with discipline on the force that manifests or is evidenced in police action generally. And let me give you an example. You know, it's like nothing. You rushing in the morning like me this morning trying to get to work. You rushing in the morning, you jump in the car and you forget to put your seatbelt on. You know? It happens. It happens. You're distracted. Forget that. Forget to put your seatbelt on. But these new fancy cars, they got that little bing. You go, bing. And in my car, if you ignore the first set of bing, that's like a Grammy. They come in hard at you. Bing, 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 bing. So they realize that you have to annoy the driver. To compel them to put on the seatbelt, you got to annoy them, make it annoying and uncomfortable to not wear the seatbelt, right? But people forget, and now you got these new fancy cars that remind you while you're driving, right? You know what's disheartening? when you drive past a police car, you see a police officer in it, and you say, oh, he ain't got on no seatbelt. Well, police always rushing to go here, there, and the other. They're always distracted, right? So it could happen. But then when you realize that the police officer has actually attached the seatbelt, has locked the seatbelt in position, they're just not wearing it. See, that's a conscious act. That's a deliberate decision to not wear the seatbelt. That day I jump in the car, I forget to put on my seatbelt, I go in for that. Ain't that one of the biggest issues the police force is facing? It seems an inability to discipline rogue officers. See, before the 2021 snap election, I put on the table the biggest task, the most difficult job Brave Davis or Hubert ministered, because they were the two vying for leadership at the time. The biggest task they will have in front of them is causing or compelling their colleagues, those they supervise, public servants generally, the wider Bahamian public, and visitors to our shores to discipline themselves, to moderate their behavior, and to cause or compel others to do the same. The biggest task that any leader in this country has before them. And the question is, do the policymakers understand that? This is an unfortunate situation. But there are many Bahamians who are sitting back hoping that because it involved a tourist, it will cause real change in the culture of the police force. That because it happened to a tourist, the policymakers will take it seriously enough to ensure that there is a real shift in culture and operation in the police force. You're a police officer. The N-word can't bother you. Because when you put on your uniform, you become a super citizen, right? You know that you're going to be faced with people who are angry. You know you're going to be faced with people who do not like you. And you know you're going to be faced with people who don't want to be arrested and thus resist your very presence. But that cannot cause you to lose your head or lose your discipline. I'm telling you, I've had personal experiences with this as well. And I think at this point, all we could do is call on senior officers on the force to ensure that new officers coming into the system unsuspected of them in terms of police citizen, police public engagement. That is so very, very important. I got two texts coming in. Please note that many of our police need training from outside professionals, not from their own police. Many of them have anger issues and have the same problems as our society. They talk to seniors disrespectfully. This needs to stop. Many of our leaders need proper help from professionals with proven experience and track record. We are in deep water. All right, Texter, I'm going to share this in the sentiment that it, you shared it. Recently, with the tabling, I think, of the Mental Health Act or amendments to the Mental Health Act. Oh, no, my bad. In the discussion about the new prison complex, in that discussion, the minister responsible wanted to highlight the reason for the increase in costs. And what was said was that in the first budget draw up, they didn't include mental and medical health facilities. And in this final budget, they are now including mental health and medical facilities. Trust me, I know that police officers do not have access to the social psycho services that they need dealing with these traumatic incidents. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You can hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so you think maybe the only thing which is to athletes, you think they do that with the basketball players because they was helpful, they was the team would almost make it to the Olympics for basketball, although some persons say the Bahamas team was there before. You think that's why they might have honored them? Or you think it's anything to do with like how the young man was saying, oh, he ain't had no generator for 7 years. I mean, he had to use generator for 7 years just to point out, you know, people watching him nationally to point out that the country appreciate him. You think that's why they might have do it?
Okay.
On the same scale with...
But the other athletes.
Like the Jones lady.
And Quincy Pratt. Okay, so watch this.
Quincy Pratt, yes.
On the first first question, you would honor the whole team, right? You wouldn't just honor the NBA players.
The whole team in there?
No, I don't think so, because I can tell you why. Because if you honored the whole team, they would all be honored in one category.
Yes.
Right? That's it. But they would all be in one singular category, and these athletes are all on different lists.
I agree.
So they could have been thinking that but didn't think it, which is you can't honor just the NBA players that participated, right?
Your beef is this, that they shouldn't honor what his last name is again?
DeAndre Ayton?
No, the last fellow.
Oh, Vijay Edgecombe?
Yeah, Edgecombe from Bimini. They shouldn't honor him the same time they honor the Jones lady
less Vijay Edgecombe and more like a DeAndre Ayton, right? I think that's a better example, like DeAndre and Kai, whose careers have not been as explosive or spectacular as a Jonquel or as a Vijay.
Uh-huh.
Even though, see, Ayton was number one draft pick, but has he produced at the same level, right?
Buddy Hield.
As a buddy, as a Vijay, as a Jonquel. And so, like I say, it's not to denigrate or devalue them, but it's more to raise the question, what's the rationale for the decision-making? How
Or even on in one time.
That's the next thing. It's like you diminish the honor. And here's why. Oh, it's not necessarily just that it's 500 people. It's that you don't have any information attached to their names.
500, I think that's a little bit one time. I mean, somehow you could get to keep the 500 in mind to do it, right? But maybe, like somebody say, the 52 or the 53 anniversary, like do it the same amount of it, or even 100. You know, even 100. Tell me something. The Aiken, he have any, like, I don't know if the word is foundations or things where he's...
See, okay, thank you, pause. You saw that story? You heard that story?
I didn't want to sound funny saying it, right?
Yeah.
Because I respect where he come from. I mean,
even
daddy, I respect them, you know?
Yeah, man. And we ain't mad at him, right? But I saw that as well. Thank you for reminding me.
I heard the story.
Yeah, I know.
That ain't my point, what I'm going to get at. You can cut me now?
No, I'm not going to cut you, but let me say this. I ain't going to cut you.
Okay.
So, recently, a story coming out of Jamaica...
Uh-huh.
DeAndre Ayton made a major contribution or a community foundation, community center.
Yeah,
in,
they started, he said, this just the start.
Right, a parish in Jamaica, right? And it made me think, hold on, although, I love Jamaica. Jamaicans, I love Jamaica.
Me too, I love Jamaica.
I mean, this ain't no type of this at all, right?
Oh, sorry.
But... Imagine you put him on the Bahamas National Honors List, and the next day you see a story about him and his community center in Jamaica.
He on our Bahamas basketball team, right?
Yeah, he was on the national team. And see, that's what I think. You should have honored the entire national team as a group. You could have done that. You still there?
Something happened just now. I really asked a question if he on the basketball team.
Yeah, he was on the men's national basketball team.
Okay.
And he may be... See, there's... That's a part of the reason why I'm mad at Vijay now, right?
Vijay?
Yeah, Vijay, I can tell you why, though. And when I tell you why, you could understand this may be a beautiful tension, right?
Uh-huh.
VJ, now that he's in the NBA, the national team has been severely limited because he can't play with the national team when the NBA playing.
Why?
Because they got rules.
But I thought we done passed that. I'd be passing with the other rest of players, but not with him yet.
Well, no. So there were two issues. One issue was you could only, like, you know, there was a question of why Eric Gordon and not Klay Thompson as well.
Yeah.
It's because only one player who is, I think, American citizen, but Bahamian descent, only one player could say, hey, I'm going to go play for my national team.
And that's how Eric and Klay
is? So Eric came and played for the team. And so
Eric and Klay in that same situation,
eh? Yeah, I think so.
Eric and Bahamian, like.
Yeah. So that's one thing, right? But this is different. It's the same way, like, I think Denisha Cartwright or some of the track athletes couldn't participate in the either the world relays or the qualifier because they couldn't get released from their athletic program at the collegiate level.
So as you come in, you'll be released, you'll be able to help us if we maybe going at it again. I think something coming up soon.
He may not be able to, but guess what? I feel like, man, VJ, you got to establish. See, he has to establish himself in the NBA.
Right?
He got to put that work in. He can't just go on vacation the first month, you know, the first 2 months of the job.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
We are all happy for him, all us, celebrating that he has gotten to the Sixers' third pick in the draft. But then there's also a little sadness in our heart that his capacity.
Ain't nothing we could do about it. We got to accept it.
Yeah, there you go.
So he could be ready to do this like, what, in another 2, 3, 4 years, something?
I don't know.
I'm
hoping that by the time the Olympics come around, the NBA has changed its rules.
And release him.
And
we got to ask Michael Thompson to push for that.
Yeah,
did you say anything about that thing we're coming up with Michael Thompson and what do you call it, the Jeff Rogers thing?
I
hear the commercial on your radio, but I don't know if you mentioned anything on the papers because that Michael Thompson, he's a nice person. I mean, I see him and I could see a little boy growing up and he had some kind of karma.
Uh-huh.
Like how they talk with the Lennon and stuff, and I am. He was saying that he wanted the prime minister, and he was always gentle and stuff. It's so good to see, like, you know, because some people is go from their country because of whatsoever reason leave.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't getting treated right or whatever. And they don't pay attention, but I know people might say it's more Michael Thompson could do too, but I appreciate what he's doing, how he's talking, how he's expressed himself when he talked with the Bahamas, him and the children and Klay and all of them. So, I appreciate people like him. But Miss Gray,
uh-huh.
not meaning to be wouldn't run from it, right? What I really the call from the ask if you get the story there with this lady, this is the deputy director, Mercy Youth and Sports, Ms. Oreo Woods or something. She was mentioning, I think it's something, the Ministry of Education, the Sean Connery, the, I can call him doctor, what am I name? Adrian Falk.
Yeah.
And others, them with the swimming with our young people, them in the school.
I can look for it.
And I just was saying, I agree with what she was saying, because she's talking about how swimming is so important and stuff, and, you know, hurricanes and different things. And stuff.
Yeah, we live in an archipelago.
These
water children.
We should have been doing this long time. So I salute the government, the Minister of Education, Ms. Oreo Woods, and all of them, Sean Connery, Adrian Fox, and all of them for what they're doing with our children. I just want to encourage them to push as fast as possible. Again, let's get the right set of people to come there and help our children to do what we got to do. Let's get them in all the schools.
Absolutely.
Keep up the good work, Ms.
Thank you. And thank you for that shout out to all of the people working to bring the landscape together. Okay, we're going back. We're going to a break. When we come back from the break, I see this national squad preparing for FIBA America. Peace on the Streets Classic, clergy versus politicians showdown, and the Jeff Rogers Classic coming up. What's happening right now? Plenty of stories to talk about. You guys stay tuned. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
So we're along the road, boy, you have to grow up fast. This life of crime and violence is never gonna last. Cause crime doesn't pay, boy.
Crime doesn't pay.
Sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give a Printmasters, bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
As a local Bahamian bank, we believe that Bahamian businesses are the backbone of our society. At Fidelity, we proudly fuel the dreams of our local entrepreneurs looking to expand. Ready to grow your business? Apply for a Fidelity commercial loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
All your money, take her out on a date. She said, give her a call, round a quarter to eight. When you dial her number, ring-a-ling-a-ling. She knows it's you, but she just let it ring. Boy, you get swing, you get swing. You got no
thing. Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Texas, I'm coming to the text. I got somebody who's been on the holding since the break. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Hey, caller.
Hey, morning, Eric.
Morning.
Yeah. It's open line, right?
Yeah, it's open line.
Okay. Give me one second, please. Yeah, this roadway, man. I don't know what they're doing. Man, it's a nightmare driving between Curl Harbor, from Curl Harbor heading east. Between Curl Harbor Roundabout on Bacardi Road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when they could do something. I've been like that for years, man.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, and all the Ministry of Work is doing is coming on. They ain't doing nothing. I know on the main road going in the back of Curl Harbor for the fence was, they paved a little bit, come back another 2 weeks, paved a little bit, still ain't finished it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we paying our license fee and on our tax, I think these roads should be kept better, man. I feel terrible about how they keep these roads.
Listen,
sometimes you gotta say Mickey, Minnie, Mario, which one is which way to drive sometimes.
Yeah, which hole you can put your car in today.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's terrible. The road, we pay our license fee. I think they could do much better. $184 million and all of that, they won't waste for 20 miles of road and all these bad roads now. So, now, one more comment I want to make.
Yes, sir.
About this bill in the new hospital.
Yes, sir.
I think they could do a better deal than that, because what I seen happening, when they borrowed the money from the Chinese people, what they do, they bring their people in, and we got to pay the loan back.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bahamians should profit more off of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they should hire way more Bahamians. They hire all the Chinese, and you got to pay the loan back. And the same thing with Cuba. They take all the money. Our Bahamians, particularly with the building, we don't make it. The Bahamians that come here, they should hire 75% Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
But they hire, go with all the money, and at the end of the day, we got to pay back the big money. Bahamian don't profit off it. That's all I got to say.
I feel you. You know what? I can try and get the Department of Labor on to give us a sense of how many people are in the what unemployment and employment numbers look like, and the scope of, right, like how many construction workers will be required and for how long, and then juxtapose these, right? And so we could get a sense of what the landscape looks like. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, as it relates to the gentleman just now as he spoke, right? You know, he pointed out a very, very serious loophole that is very, very clear or worth to the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these roads lead to nowhere. They show us they don't care. Now, people call them potholes, but some of these are calderas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very inglorious. So, really, when you buy an expensive car, you have to be a very affluent person, or you just want to show someone you have some money. These roads don't even deserve riding. Right? That's why you buy a little buggy, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever something, you understand me?
Yeah.
So unless you have money to throw away, because I've been riding to school from grade 10, and I realize I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still uptown, downtown, all around town. But anyhow, let me move on as it relates to the police force and saying that Bahamian people deserve much better. It's only because this person is a Caucasian. So even with me, I'm so sensitive by even the media saying that it's a white lady or Caucasian lady. That is a form of prejudice also, because, I mean, when you made the subsequent report after that, you didn't say a black person was shot at the pump.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? But I just want to say, we need some real, real dialogue with the police force to be more, have a better PR with the public. Let us know if you have changed your policy as it relates to officers below the rank carrying firearms, as we see a proliferation of that, especially in nightclubs, etc.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of incidents that, like, if you have officers below the rank, say a lady, a fitness patient, I was going in a club with this lady, she's an officer. She has a weapon in her bag, but the security officer asked her, she said, no, you can't search it, I said, wait. Somebody asked if she have ID. I believe she had a problem with that. So if you're carrying a weapon, you should have an ID, right or wrong?
Yeah.
You should have an ID, Aaron.
You should.
And so if you have changed your policy, you have an officer below the rank, there could be reasons for it. Maybe he was involved in a deadly shooting and he wants to be, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But for you to be just cool with someone, whether a female or a male in the force, and you're allowed to carry a weapon below the rank of a sergeant, then, you know, it needs to be more scrutiny, and so you have to be of good character. But we saw that the recent voice note, the one related to the armored truck vehicle, right? You saw the contempt in which the alleged officer on the alleged voice note,
mm-hmm.
what he allegedly said about the superior officer, what he would do, right? But yet mm-hmm. still, we haven't heard anything about these things. These insubordinations are swept under the rug. There's a subsequent incident in Anglesey in which they were pursuing somebody, and a shot was fired into a co-worker of mine's vehicle. But he was in Exuma at the time, so there's a hole in the vehicle, and then there's a subsequent shot in the house next door.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go and see if everything was cool with any of those people there. And then we look at another incident in which unfolded some time about a week and a half ago around 4th Street, in which they came for a suspect. It's a tenement yard. I think the owner of the tenement was there, but the young man's father was there. And the pit bull was behind the gate, secured, and they shot the pit bull. And I think a bullet ran at the door, and the guy's father was there. And so you didn't hear about this. That's what I'm saying.
Hold on, pause. Just for a second. This is, because I read a story about a dog being chasing somebody, and they entered a private citizen's yard, saw a dog, and shot the dog while they were pursuing the suspect.
Well, I don't know if that corroborates it, but this is first-hand knowledge. So if it is in the Grove area, then that's the only
thing. It may be the same story.
That. But the person who knows them and is saying that the dog was behind the gate, and it was in no urgency, and it's his daughter's dog, and the dog is used to protect her when he's out. But what I'm saying is, if the dog is secured behind the gate, the dog anyhow died, but you didn't hear anything about the dog, human rights, et cetera, but it's just the ego and the over will to kill. Like, you know, they just have to shoot the dog. A dog is a dumb animal. He's a creature of habit. He knows he has to protect the yard. You should have given him a break and surveillance.
But
the yard.
It's more than that. Think of this scenario, right? You are on your officer, you're on the road in your car. You are now attempting to detain a suspect, right? It's a foot chase. You're on the public road. The suspect turns into a random yard. You follow them. There's a dog in the yard.
But this was not that scenario.
No, I know.
I don't know about this scenario you're talking
no,
about.
No, I'm just saying, it's a hypothetical. This is a hypothetical,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're chasing the suspect. He turns into this random yard. You follow them. There's a dog in the yard. You, in fear of your life, shoot the dog. But the question is, did you have permission to be in the yard? Did you have authorization to be in the yard? Right? Like, why are you in the yard? Was the dog doing anything to you? That's the scenario I'm thinking about when I read the story. And that has to be cleared up at the training level, man.
Yeah, but I don't have a problem with them shooting a dog if the person is shooting at the police and he's behind him. If they have to shoot a dog, that's it. But what I'm saying is, with the risk that they put on themselves, but it's just the contempt for the inner city community. If you out west, you don't see the type of justice dispensed in the inner city as you see out west and out like the key. That's what I'm saying. And so it's no such thing as inclusivity. All it is just narratives that sound euphemistic, but they're really BS in practicality. Because, you know, the justice system, even as you look at it, and so, yeah, I like this lady, the lawyer, what's her name?
Galanis.
Yeah, you know, I like this lady. She's something like, I just like this lady, man. Just
unafraid.
You think we should be, yeah. Long live Miss Galanis.
Thank you, 52. Yeah. And thank you, 52. As a special thank you I have for you, 52, but if I tell them what I thanking you for, I ain't gonna have none left. Anyway, Gnep's on the ground. Gnep's on the ground, and me and that raccoon, we are warring. We are at war. Here's the text. Good morning. I find it interesting. Let's prep the caller. I find it interesting that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs suddenly finds it necessary to suspend flights into Haiti due to gang violence involving kidnapping, murders, etc. This isn't anything new, yet they had our national flag carrier flying into this danger zone and bringing hundreds, possibly thousands of tourists from Haiti into Nassau. I believe that this decision was made following the public pushback from recent reactions involving the illegal immigration. How do we know whether or not some of those very gang members are not already here in the Bahamas? These knee-jerk and impulsive decisions need to stop, and those in charge should be deliberate and place the interests of the nation above any personal or political agenda. Well, we rely on our international systems. And there's nobody leaving Haiti without a passport, right? And so we have to rely on the integrity of our systems to protect us, which is why the integrity of our systems is so important. Good morning, caller.
Aaron Gray.
Good morning. How you do?
What are we talking about today, dog, or what?
It's open line.
Oh, it's open line. Oh, they're talking about dogs. Eric, I'm a kid to my mind. You know, the World Cup is next year. A portion of that's in Miami.
Yeah.
I want the Ministry of Tourism,
mm-hmm.
and the director to take note where that will be a good opportunity to promote the Bahamas next year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be.
On those lines. You see where I'm going with it?
Yeah, but tell me how you can promote it.
Well, advertising, stadium, you could advertise.
Yeah, no, I got that part. I mean, it's perfect, but tell me if I want to know if you're thinking what I'm thinking.
Yeah, sometimes maybe you think alike.
I mean, use Bahamian, I use Bahamian most times. Because
yeah.
Here's what I say, right? What has arisen from this conversation about FIFA World Cup, Soccer World Cup, that's going to be held in the Americas this year? Canada, Mexico, the United States of America are your three central playing spaces.
Right, you're up to date.
And okay. There's expected to be a very low turnout, right? That turns, pun intended, on the Trump administration's new immigration policies, right?
Well, yeah, that's
right. So there are a lot of people who are going to be anxious or apprehensive about traveling to the U.S. because they're concerned that they may be swept up in what seems like a hysterical immigration policy, right? So
I'll be that way into it, though.
So they're expecting very low turnouts, right? So what you're telling me is I may be for it, you know. Let's run a campaign in Florida that says, hey, look here, you don't feel too comfortable here at the World Cup. Remember, you could always come to the Bahamas.
I don't even say that's your fault.
Thank you. But, I mean, I get the idea. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
You got to, if people are flying in, and especially if they come in across the pond from Europe, from Africa, right, from Asia, to come watch these games. Oh, we should be there with our paraphernalias. We should be there, the Junkanoo Boys. In fact, we need to put together a whole promotional package, including the Junkanoo Boys.
Don't forget, this will be broadcast live also.
Yeah.
On television, so we need to book a lot of television commercials.
Yeah. In fact, listen, thank you. Thank you very much, Pumpkin Eater.
Hey, y'all, have a good day.
You too. Included with that, when we go back to the conversation and on the clock with Special Olympics Bahamas, we need the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I think Her Excellency Leslie Miller Bryce, who is the, I think, Ambassador to CARICOM? Anyway, we need them to start talks right now to figure out how we're going to televise the Special Olympics, or Special World Games, right? The World Game neurodivergent community. We need to work with the Caribbean to ensure that we have that feed running. As a text, good morning. I think we have to also be careful not to assume that the fault lies with the officers. The very fact that the tourists used derogatory terms indicates an inability to process boundaries. I've been privy to a video where a white woman deliberately defecated on the establishment floor, picked it up and flung it at personnel in her tantrum. These are the times in which we live. Yeah, I think it's important we don't assume guilt. However, right, even in the face of, I guess, a lack of resources, procedural irregularities, right? Like I was saying, in the absence of a body camera, you may feel compelled to document what's happening to ensure that the authorities who will ultimately investigate the scene have access to as much information as possible. I don't think it was the filming of it that was the problem. It's the disseminating of it, right? Well, that's the ultimate problem, because in the lack of body cameras, you could understand why someone wants to document what's happening. It's the disseminating of the footage to the public that's the problem. It's like that video, we ain't gonna never forget that. What we doing, squatty? We drinking in the police car, in uniform, while we using the phone. Or worse yet, you got a phone set up in the car, and so you turn the car into a movie studio, and we don't know how many videos you disseminating. And then in the video, you tell them don't send it out, and they send it. Right? We could understand why an officer would attempt to document what's happening. We can't understand why y'all keep leaking this footage. Why you keep leaking the footage? All right, let's get to another text quickly. Aaron, I think the big problem is that senior junior officers are retiring too early at a young age in their 50s. That leaves for rookie officers to be in charge with such limited training on the job. Rookies make mistakes and cause bigger problems for the force. Listen, if I tell you all my story about the ticket that didn't exist, you can imagine, I get a ticket, I say, I'm not paying the fine, I'm going to... They get the ticket in my hand and the ticket in their hand, they don't have a file for it. I understand what you're talking about, Texter. Good day. I want to talk about how NHIA is underfunded and that they have only paid labs and physicians. Only 65% of June reimbursement is later. I was going to bang my head on the mic, but then I remember I don't have insurance and I can't afford aspirin right now. So I ain't gonna do that. But I can pass this on to a reporter and ask them to follow up on what it is that you have posited. Here's another text. Please expand on the police issues. It's very important to the public. It is. It is. Because many of us grow up with the messaging, you know, the police are our friends. Many of us have, police are our friends, and we want the police to be our friends. But I can't be friends with somebody who every time I see them, they're upset because I don't act like a Negro on the plantation. Good morning. We need the highway and East Street South swimming pools fixed in the middle of the road when it rains. So that's the highway and East Street South roads need major repair and flood remediation. This way are emergency vehicles and we all have to pass. Do they care? Another text, why all of our governments keep making bad decisions over and over again on crime and seem not to get the message that the methods and what they're doing for decades are not working. They're not working for years and years and years. Also, I thought you was going to say, y'all keep hiring the same people to cold patch the same holes and the same holes keep opening up over and over again. At what point are y'all going to tell the nation's leaders that COVID? And we remember when y'all said, oh, we just cold patch is a temporary solution. And now you acting like you could call, you could come to us and tell us you paved something when really what you've allowed to happen is the poor application of a cold patch. Text says, thank you for open line today. The domestics parking side at the airport is in a poor state. The fees parking paid are the same as the non-domestic side. Just curious as to why it is being allowed to deteriorate. I can tell you why. It just came to me just now in a flash, because for successive administrations, nobody has been running, nobody's been governing a country. Nobody. They haven't, they've abdicated that responsibility of governing a country. They are managing an economy, and they're managing it poorly. That's why. There's another text. So the MOFA finally had the sense to issue a travel advisory against Haiti yesterday. It seems to also be in alignment with the updated U.S.'s advisory level 4, the most serious. For persons who are questioning why it was done and what has changed recently to prompt it, I believe, this is a texter saying, I believe the government has finally realized that they got to be the stupidest set of people to have put the lives of Bahamians at risk while in cahoots with those who are operating. Okay, yeah. Texter. I just needed a moment of silence to clear my head. As a text, the police officers think they have the rights to hit and beat big adults who cuss them. Tell the commissioner of police to humanize these barbarians who think they own the citizens, compounded by no accountability. I can just speak from my personal experience. If y'all had seen how that young man looked at me after I blew my horn to draw to their attention that while they are at the corner of West Street and Meeting Street conducting an impromptu traffic exercise, the drivers on Meeting Street were intentionally obstructing traffic and directing the street to ignore traffic controls, like run the stop sign, so that they could avoid detection by the officers conducting the exercise. And that young man looked at me as if I told him I was going to fight him in the road. Okay? And then he spat at me. You have your license, you have your insurance. And I wanted to tell him, good God, my insurance agent is Ori J. Sands. You think I'm stupid enough to be on this road without my papers? But I didn't. I turned on my phone attempting to document what was happening, and then they scowled at me again, like, how dare you? And then as I was standing there asking the officer, exactly why is it that you've detained me? Why is it that you've pulled me over? That young man looked at me and said, miss, you won't get locked up for disorderly conduct, eh? And I told him, take me now. I told him, take me to the station right now. Let's go and tell them that you locked me up for disorderly conduct. And then when I ended up at the court, because I am a citizen of the country and I do what I ought to do when I ought to do it, not just for myself, but for the ancestors that brought me here, so I don't be an embarrassment to them. There was nothing. So, dear Commissioner of Police, please do not allow these young officers to be caught up in the worst cultures emanating from the force. Let us bring them together with the best minds in the force to perpetuate something different, so we could return to a place where we could tell our children with the utmost confidence, the police are our friends, every single one of them. And we know this because we rely on officers to discipline their peers and their colleagues respectfully, like y'all like to say, in decency and order. There's a text following 52's contribution. Children are sometimes in that apartment where the bullet entered the front door where the dog was shot. Thank you. Says, you know what's sickening? The number of Bahamians who literally see nothing wrong with illegal, immoral, or unethical behavior. Anybody could do anything. Those poor men who get charged with raping the impaired tourists, eh? Why they had to be their fault. I don't know if I like that example you use, because people will draw what's like allusions to a particular story. But I had the misfortune of watching a brand new car assigned to a judge or a magistrate zip through the streets of Nassau without using the turn signals. And if you want to lead this country, the biggest job you're going to have at hand is causing and compelling Bahamians, your colleagues first and foremost, to govern themselves, to discipline themselves, to moderate their behavior, and to compel or coerce others to do the same. You guys have a great day. The Foundation with Howard Grant is coming up next. 52, thank you. It's a Ganep weekend. Y'all better get that good Ganep. It's also good for dehydration, keeping your body cool this summer. Have a great day. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
It should be considered a crime.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.